So here's a mistake that I saw in those autoresponders. Let's just say they had an offer on day 6 or day 7. So they don't be talking at the very end and be like, you have 48 hours left to redeem this special coupon. Here you go. Click the link. Chances are most people are not going to be going all the way down to the bottom. And urgency is a really powerful persuasion principle. So put that urgency at the top.
All right, and that Australian voice you just heard is my email copywriter, Jules Dan. And if he sounds familiar, that's because he's been on the show before. He's actually our first returning guest. And I was really happy to welcome him back because, you know, if you've listened to the show before, if you've watched any of my YouTube videos before, you know how much of a premium I put on email marketing and really using email to nurture your audience, taking them from a place of, you know, I kind of know who you are. I've opted in for something, but I'm not quite sure I want to work with you yet. And then use your email to get them all the way through to the place where, yes, I want to pull out my credit card. I want to work with you. I want to buy from you. But in doing that, when you're setting up your campaigns and your automation, there are quite a few places that you can get really tripped up. And that's what Jules is here today to talk about. But not only going at it from that negative point of view of the mistakes everyone makes, we're also going to talk about how to fix them, of course, because we don't want to leave you high and dry there. So we've got 5 mistakes and 5 ways to fix them coming right up. I'm web strategist Wes McDowell, and this is The Profitable Website, the podcast where I share all my secrets to use your website and what's working now in digital marketing to reach more people and make a deeper impact with your prospects so you can supercharge your growth, eliminate the stress of inconsistent income, and build a business you love to show up for every single day. In return, I promise to show up to support you on every step of your journey. Let's put your website to work. All right, welcome back to the show. So happy to have you here. And if you're liking the show, it would mean the world to me if you would take about 30 seconds out of your day and go to Apple Podcasts and give an honest rating and what you think of the show so that other business owners can benefit from this information as well. Because as we know, right now, small business is hurting and the economy is not in such a great place. So the more we can help each other, hopefully the faster that recovery is going to be. So tell a friend, leave a review. It would mean so much to me if you would do that. All right, but anyway, on with the show. So today I'm joined once again by Jules Dan, who actually, he was a group fitness instructor turned email copywriter, my email copywriter to be exact. He does write all my emails and he loves using stories in emails to really instantly connect with audiences. And that really makes selling such an easier thing to do when you're using stories. So anyway, if you've ever wondered, what the heck do I write about in email autoresponders, then you're in luck because today Jules is going to uncover the 5 big mistakes most email copy DIYers, and let me know if that's you, that they make and how to fix it with a solid email marketing strategy. And as usual, we had a great conversation, so let's get right to it. All right, Jules, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Wes, it's a pleasure to be here. Round 2, I'm really pumped this time. Last time we spoke about storytelling, how to actually tell proper stories. And I'm really pumped today to talk about emails and email strategy and big mistakes people are making and how to fix them. So really excited.
Yeah, for sure. Like you. So congratulations. You're my first guest to actually come back for a round 2. So
yes,
it's a good thing.
All right, win.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, a little behind the scenes here. So Jules actually writes my emails. So if you're on my email list, I hate to break it to you, but maybe they're not coming from me exactly. They're written in my voice, right? Like we took a lot of time to kind of make sure that my voice is being captured in the right way. But yeah, Jules is a email master. So I feel like I'm in the best of hands with you there. So let's get a little bit of background now. Let's talk a little bit before we get into those mistakes. Why email marketing is actually so important, and how you recommend people do it.
Yep. Okay. I'll start off with a stat because I know you love stats, Wes.
Mm-hmm.
A 2020 HubSpot article or study, they did a big, big study across all the industries and they found that email still produces $38 to every $1 invested. So that's a 3,800% ROI. Yeah. So clearly there's still a lot of attention. There's still a lot of opportunity inside of email. But there's a, I can completely understand why people would just see email, feel like it's spammy, this doesn't work, or they try something out and it doesn't get the results they want. They might look at that stat and they say, yeah, sure. But don't give up, because if you look at all the plays, if you look at all the people who've been doing it for many, many years, they've been like people like Frank Kern, people like, I guess, Russell Brunson, they've all been doing it for like at least 10, 15, 20 years and they're still going. So
yeah,
I would keep going if I were you.
Exactly. And like a lot of our listeners are not necessarily master marketers. They're more small business owners. But the point being, if the master marketers are doing it, then you should steal a page out of their playbook, right? And
exactly.
It's got a good return. So you've already convinced me. I'm already convinced. I know the power of email marketing. It, like, even if you are on, you know, all the socials, if you're trying to build up your Facebook and your Instagram and all that stuff, you know, as the story goes, you don't own any of that. You own your email list though. So it's a good way to just bolster what you've already got on all your social platforms. It doesn't sound as exciting. It's not the shiny new toy in the box, but yeah, it's definitely worth doing. So, but anyway, you wanted to talk about the top five mistakes that people are making in their email autoresponder campaigns, and yep, I can't wait to hear these because, you know, everyone loves a good top five mistakes list, right?
Because yeah,
want to make sure we're not doing them. So let's exactly give a little bit of background and tell people exactly, if they don't know exactly, what we mean by an email autoresponder series.
Yeah. Okay. So autoresponder is a techno babble word for when you opt into someone's list. So let's just say there's a free report or a free checklist or a free video and you give your email address, you're likely going to get automated emails over the next 7, 10, 20 days or whatever. It's not someone clicking send every time. So that's why it's called an autoresponder. It automatically responds to you. I guess that's why it's called that.
Totally.
Yeah. And I guess the background of why I wanted to come on here is because, so obviously I have to find clients, to write emails to. And one of the methods I was using was just opting into my ideal target market's email lists, and just seeing what they're doing and then sending a cold email pitch, trying to not be like accusing them that they're doing wrong. But I saw so many mistakes where it became really apparent. It also reflected on me. And I've got a few stories to share as well, because I made a lot of these mistakes too. So there's five really big ones, and yeah, maybe I should start from number one, unless you got a question.
Yeah, let's dive into it. Let's start with the first one.
All right. Number one is not understanding your market like your best friend. And this is a step that many, many people completely forget or ignore, because it's not sexy to dive into Facebook groups. It's not sexy to interview your ideal customer. It's not sexy to just do all the research. That's just like, because you really do have to dig to find all this sort of stuff. And I was trying to do that sort of, you know, I mentioned this on the last podcast, go inside Facebook groups, go inside Amazon reviews. It was a bit harder. So then when I actually got an opportunity to talk with, here's a bit of context, right? So I was trying to create a chatbot with a autoresponder style sequence inside of it, a lot of storytelling. Then I gave my script to a few of my clients, and two of them were okay, but they weren't really good writers. And then one of them, she wanted to run away and just completely quit because the idea of writing was not great. And then when I interviewed her, that's how I actually made her come back. I'm like, okay, I'm going to interview you, get you on a call. You're just going to have to talk me through it. And then once I started to get to know her on the phone, I could really see all her market's desires. I could see all the problems they shared, the journey that she went through. And it actually happened to be a lot of the same things that her market felt and experienced too. And that's what we used. And that's when I got my first little taste. I think it was like out of 115 messages we sent that went through the bot, 65 went through their call to action page, and like her book a call page. And that's when I realized, okay, so there's clearly something really, I've hit something here with, you know, getting to understand their market really, really well. But the mistake that I see is that, let's just say someone might have a welcome message. It's super, super bland. It doesn't directly talk to the person where they're at with those desires. And I guess that would be the first mistake, not knowing your market like your best friend.
Yeah. And so the importance of that is really, when you say knowing them, I think what we really mean more than anything is knowing the problem that you can help them with. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Knowing their problem. It also helps to know sort of what's going on in their day. Some people are very over the top with what they eat and what movies they watch and stuff like that. While those aren't, those are nice to haves. Like you mentioned, it is pretty important to know what their problems are. I would definitely focus on that first.
Yeah. I mean, that good copywriting always focuses on the problem and then your unique solution to it. So yeah, if you're basically just coming in there, talking at them, like you're trying to appeal to absolutely everybody, like no one is going to latch on to what it is you can do for them. So I definitely see the wisdom in that. And you know, the research is key. You gotta start with that. It's not fun, but if you don't do it, you're not giving yourself the proper baseline to even get started. So
yeah. Exactly. And the solution to that is obviously I've got a free checklist. You can go through and check it out for yourself. But yeah. I go through a whole episode with Wes. I wish I knew which episode it was, which goes through how you might want to actually interview that customer. And that's how you get to know them really, really well.
Could probably figure that out pretty quick, but I don't want to waste time here looking for it. But
no good.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah. So what's the second mistake we want to hit on?
Okay. Second one is not sharing the common stories and objections your customer has. Like I said, this builds all these mistakes build upon each other, right? It is super, super easy to think that, hey, if I just give them a lot of content, the law of reciprocity means that they'll like me, they'll respond to me, they'll click on my offers. Right. And I learned this mistake super quickly back in December 2019. I built a Facebook group. I got my podcast ready. I was trying to get all this momentum behind just to do this launch. And the launch was to try and teach people this chatbot story thing that I'd pulled off. And when I wrote my emails back when I didn't know how to write emails that well. But basically, I was just giving a lot of content after the webinar. I wasn't actually using the emails as a way to sort of break their objections as to like, why should I trust you? Why is this better a vehicle than something else? All these sort of common objections that I should have brought up. Instead, I was just talking about, I don't know, 10 tips to do this or 5 mistakes to do this after a webinar, which is completely wrong. But that's the same with, say, like autoresponders, what I was opting into. I was just seeing a lot of, hey, here's this podcast I've done. Hey, here's this interview I've done here. Hey, here's my blog. I've just done this.
Right.
And when you think about it, there's not much strategy behind that. It's just sort of throwing out there because, yeah, like I said, if you think you're just giving stuff, eventually people will want to, you know, give back. But in this case, there's not much strategy, and that leads into number 3.
Yeah. Well, hold on. Before you get to number 3, I do just want to clarify because I do talk a lot about, you know, getting people on your email list and then nurturing them with helpful content. But there is a big point of difference here. What you're saying is basically, okay, what I'm saying is when I say give helpful content after, you know, someone gets on your list, that should kind of, at a certain point when you have something to sell, you have a launch, you want to get people into a webinar at that point. Yeah. That's a different story at that point, because the webinar, then that should be typically a webinar teaches some, then segues into selling something. So then you're basically in a launch at that point, at which point you want to be selling without just giving, because it's never, you're not selling at that point. You're not telling them why they should be buying from you. And yeah, like you say, you're not overcoming any objections to the sale. So that is a huge missed opportunity.
Yeah. And I'll just clarify a little bit as well. So let's just say someone does have a free PDF and they're like, well, I have been using free value, and I haven't seen anything wrong with it. Why should I use, why should I not keep using value? Well, let's just picture this, right? So the whole point of your freebie is to give them a taste of what it's really like to work with you or to buy your product. Mm-hmm. So the so when someone opts into your freebie, the logical next step for them is for them to buy something from you.
Right.
And it would be wise if you have that sort of that content upgrade or whatever it is, that you strategically align your follow-up emails so that, you know, you do give value in like sort of what to do, but you're also breaking those objections, using those stories, all those sort of points that I mentioned at the start. So yeah, that when you lead up to say, hey, I've got this offer, you've broken those objections and you've sort of put their guard down a little bit, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And you're baby stepping them toward a place of, I'm just consuming this guy's content. Isn't he helpful? Or she, to maybe I actually want to work with this person, have them do this for me. So yeah, using stories and breaking through objections in like kind of under the radar ways would work very well for that. So
yeah. And while we're here, cause I know you have a lot of service-based businesses as people who follow you, and that's me as well. And what I've found and what I'm seeing in the industry a lot right now is that the people who are pretty much giving away all the secrets on how to do it themselves, rather than just being, you know, hedging, being like, this is what it could be like. But instead, a lot of people, and I'm doing this too, is that you just give them all the secrets, you let people do it on their own, and there's going to be a percentage of people who be like, I don't have the time to do this, or I can't do this on my own. Can you please do it for me? Have you found the same?
Oh, absolutely. That's the thing. Like people, their biggest objection to giving away all the secrets is that like, well, if I do that, they're not going to need me. I'm like, but you realize how few people are actually going to run with, think about when you give advice to a friend, they want to break up with their girlfriend and they're asking your advice and you tell them, oh, you should definitely break up. Yeah. How often do they actually do that? Like,
yeah.
People don't take advice all the time. So there's always going to be people who will take your advice, but most of them will not. And then, yeah, some of those people will actually want to pay you to do it for them. So,
yeah. And that's why I really like to, my strategy moving forward is that freebie is like, literally it should be a paid product, but it's not, because I want people to consume it and be like, wow, I wish someone could do this for me.
Yeah, no, it's good advice. Give away your best stuff for free is what I always say.
Yeah.
All right. So we got one and two.
Third mistake. Yeah. We're on the third one now.
All right.
Okay. These all segue into each other. So it's brilliant. Okay. So once, you know, you've understood what their objections are. Okay. Now you need a strategy. And when I was working with my copywriting coach, Pete, his name's Pete Godfrey. He's absolutely brilliant. He's been doing this for 22 years. He's got his own podcast. If you're interested in copywriting, he's got a podcast called Pete Godfrey Persuasion Show. But anyway, I'm getting a bit sidetracked. Oh, cool. Whenever I started with a new client, I'd always ask Pete, what's the template for this market? What do I write for this one? And he would always bring me back and be like, Julian, what you have to ask that one question. That question is, what's my objective? So if you want to sell a call, like a discovery call, you sell the call. If you want to sell a product, you sell the product. And then you just work backwards from there. Does that make sense? I'm like, yeah, of course. So that doesn't mean, say a big mistake I'll see a lot is that there'll be a link to their call. There'll be a link to their blog, a Facebook group, their social media icons down the bottom. Mm-hmm. How confusing is that, right? So, so someone will be like, all right, so I'm just going to sell the call. Then what? How do I actually write this strategy? So let's just think about it in the shoes of the customer. Let's say you're pitching a discovery call for example, I had a coach's coach. She coaches other coaches to build their personal brands, right?
Yeah.
And she was selling a call. What we had to do, well, actually, I shouldn't use that example because it's not the example of my freebie. Okay, so I had a video marketing agency client. And so he had a YouTube ad and then he had the emails, right? So the objective of that was for them to hit reply, so they book an appointment. I think it's a bit more relevant for service-based businesses as well.
Sure.
And so we have to go back and think about what are these objections they might have and answer these questions, putting yourself in the customer's shoes. So these emails are going to be like, why do I need video marketing? That's number one. Number two, what are the major benefits to my business? Number three, what does video marketing actually work? And then if you do your research, so these are the obvious ones, but if you do your research right, get to know your customer really well. When I did my interview with that client and his clients, I found out that a lot of them were really camera shy. They were so petrified to be on camera. And that was a big objection that they faced. And so what we did was we just sort of highlighted a story, say, of a client who didn't want to be on the camera, but the video agency guys, they had an acting, like an acting coach to help coach them through getting a comfortable camera, even though, you know, she had to take probably 50 to 100 takes. Yeah. Her real estate business just went through the roof. And that's the story we use for that example. And then you keep going through these logical questions. Okay. So I said, why am I camera shy? Then you've got, why can't I outsource this? My business is boring and different. It won't work. I've tried video content marketing before, but it doesn't work. So do you see how these are all just questions in their mind? And then that's the strategy moving forward with.
Yeah, for sure. So at that point, you would just kind of list those questions and then you would kind of try to create an email around each one of them, right? Just exactly. Like knock them down one after another.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not so obvious. It's not like the headlines, like, why do I need video marketing? Obviously you want to, there's tactics to get people interested and hook them in, and you're not just giving them a laundry list of here are the benefits and here are the features. Like, a human interest story always works the best. And if you tie that in with your objective, then that's the way to go. And so I guess the mistake that I'm seeing, although I have been seeing, is that it's just been, you know, a couple of dot points. Here's a blog post, a bunch of different links, but it's not actually tying back to that one objective.
Right. That's super smart. Love it.
Cool. All right. Should we go to number four? Have you got any other questions for that?
Oh, well, I get it. I'm just trying to I think that was pretty well explained. I mean, I talk about objection busting a lot in my materials too, but I think so. I don't know if this is going to step on a point coming up, we can table it. But so you said basically you don't just want to call out the question in the headline or whatever, or do you? Is that something you want to do? Or do you want to kind of, do you get more clever with the subject line?
I wish I had the subject lines in front of me. I remember the one how she was like, for the one that it was like, what if I'm camera shy? Mm-hmm. It was something like she was petrified in camera and now she's now business is soaring or something like that. Mm-hmm. So it still addresses the objective, but not directly like that question. I hope that answers.
Yeah, no, it does. And I think it's smart because otherwise you can get really caught up in just templatizing it to where it's not that engaging anymore. Like where it's just, but on the other hand, asking a question can be an engaging subject line. So
yeah. Yeah. So the moral of the story is you just got to test it.
Exactly.
So I would 100% just, if you, I wouldn't discount just putting it in the headline and splitting it, split testing it with a curiosity based one. Cause you know too well, whereas sometimes the curiosity based ones, those open rates are ridiculously higher than the question ones. And sometimes it's the other way around. Yeah. You just don't know. You have to test them.
Okay, cool. So this is something I'm sure people are going to be wondering about when they're listening to that. Can you give us, not to put you on the spot, but can you give us a good example of a curiosity-based subject line versus non-curiosity-based?
Okay, so I think I'll use you as an example. Okay. It's like, so a non-curiosity-based one's like, here are my, I love Google reviews because, no, okay. I have to edit this out while I just think about it. It's like, my best clients always have Google reviews, always have stellar Google reviews. Here's how. Okay.
Yeah.
That's more of like a direct one. A curiosity based one was, like I said, where she was petrified on camera. Now she's, you're really putting me on the spot. Now a business is, I don't know.
Booming.
Jeez, yeah. Call myself a copywriter.
Well, no, it's funny. Like I find that too. Whenever I'm on a coaching call and we're trying to kind of talk copy out, I can come up with it if I have got 5 minutes to myself and I can type it out, but coming up with stuff on the spot is always hard for me. So, but basically what you're boiling this down to is the non curiosity-based headlines. They're just going to kind of give away what the thing is that you're going to be talking about versus, yep. So basically saying, my five best tips for getting 5-star Google reviews versus, if you want more business, if you're a local business who needs more clients, you don't want to skip this step or something like that. Right?
Or the little known secret to getting 5 more clients this month or something like that.
It doesn't give the thing away that we're going to be talking about.
Yeah, 100%.
And the idea being it opens up that an open loop in someone's mind that they have to get closed, right?
Yeah, we're going to get to open loops in a sec.
Don't want you to step on it. Go for it.
Okay. Mistake number 3 is that...
I think we're on 4 now.
Yeah, mistake number 4, sorry. Is that not using there are 3 direct response principles. And there, if you're not sure what direct response means, I had no idea what it meant either. Basically, it is a type of marketing where you're trying to get them to directly respond. And that's what all the copywriters nerd out about, because all we want is response. We don't want branding or anything pretty like that. We want people to click and respond and buy your offer. So that's where the word comes from. So number 1 is, and this is a huge mistake, is not capitalizing on that lead sentence. So if your lead sentence doesn't hook the reader in, then, you know, it's probably not going to get read. Now, people listening, they might be thinking, well, okay, sure. Let's just make it a better lead sentence. How do you actually do that? And here's a mistake I made a lot as well, because there's a formula that goes by problem, agitate the problem and solve it. But sometimes, especially if they're new to your world and you know, you're in your face with their problem and you're accusing them straight from the get-go, it might not be a good idea. You could always test it. But let's say it's like a bit more of an emotional, like there's too much of an emotional attachment to the problem and you're slapping them around and it's like, it could be a bit like too in your face.
Maybe bullying, yeah.
What I actually like to do is sometimes is, especially if you say where there's not too many emotional attachment or where there's, it's not too, let's just say it's like a business opportunity, a business market, wealth, or like happy stuff that you produce as a result, you kind of want to lead with the desires they want, lead with the ego stroking stuff, lead with stuff that will get them thinking like, oh, wow, this is really good. So an example I gave was, okay, I've got it up here. I'm going to read it out. Do you want me to read like the bad headline, the bad lead sentence I had, and then the good one?
Let's go with the bad American Idol audition first, and then we'll do the good one.
Okay. So this is the one where I was poking around too much at the problem. And it went, if the thought of applying for your dream job while knowing thousands of others are too gives you the shivers down your spine with a sense of hopelessness, and you're looking for a fresh career to start in all this chaos that gives you the creative freedom to be the frontline reporter who gathers insights and directs and writes the strategy with the creative team. Okay. One, it's really, really boring. So I've instantly lost them, even though like I've hit the problem, I'm giving them benefits. Like this is what you're supposed to do, right? That's what you read in all the copywriting books. Mm-hmm. And then this is the alternative. Like I said, you stroke the ego, you get them curious. There's a little known, highly valued position in the creative industry that doesn't get much attention, but pays you handsomely. So that's a bit that strokes ego, pays you handsomely. Even so, the people who fill these positions are highly sought after, highly admired, and best of all, highly paid. They're paid at least double compared to the most entry-level creative industry jobs, starting at 180K to as high as 170K. So who are they and what is this mysterious job?
Okay. That's good.
That's the lead sentence compared to the other one. Like the other one puts me to sleep and this one's like, cool, I'm excited. Like what are these things? Tapping on those desires. So lesson of the story is keep practicing on those lead opening sentences. Because as soon as someone opens it, if it's boring, if it's like, hey, how's it going guys? You know, I'm really excited to do this. It's like,
we've heard it before.
It's the point.
Exactly. Yeah, anything that's like anything that you when you read it and you feel like okay, this is has been said so many times before, you probably don't want to say it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like if it's, I don't know, there's certain words that just businesses love to use, like award-winning or you know the best customer service and stuff. But it's like when you've read or heard that so many times, it goes in one ear out the other. So yep. It's always good to think of new ways of saying it, like your example you just showed.
Mm-hmm. And sorry, just had a burp coming up. That's a bit embarrassing. So if you find yourself in the pattern of you've always got the same salutation, the same opener, the salutation is basically the greeting, by the way. If it's just like, hey, first name, I'm excited to tell you about that. And that's on every email, I would 100% switch up every single email. So it's a little bit different, but that's like a little side tip. Okay. The other one is, so here's a mistake that I saw in those autoresponders. Let's just say they had an offer on day 6 or day 7. So they don't be talking at the very end and be like, yeah, 48 hours left to redeem this special coupon. Here you go. Click the link. Okay, there's a few problems with that. One, they didn't even tell me why there was a 48 hours special. So right. The urgency was a little fake, smelt a bit bad. Yeah. But the other thing is, look, let's just say you do have a legit urgency reason. Chances are most people are not going to be going all the way down to the bottom. And urgency is a really powerful persuasion principle. So put that urgency at the top, okay? You've got 48 hours to redeem this coupon because, okay, think of your best reason why. And that's what it's going to be at the top of your email instead of leaving it down the bottom. So if you've got your autoresponder series and you're trying to get them to, you know, pitch that product on day 6, day 7, day 8, whatever it is, make sure you put that urgency sort of thing at the very top.
All right.
Simple as that. Have you done that before? I think you've done that with your webinar emails.
Yeah. So when I have my paid course emails that go out, there's definitely scarcity there because they have a week to buy, to get the deal basically once they've watched the webinar. So.
Yeah. And did you test did you just write it once, or have you guys tested, say, like a different, like should I put the urgency here or put it a few times or?
Oh, it's in every email. It's in every email so that they understand. And there's like timers built into it and stuff. So it's said in different ways. But yeah, sometimes there's even that countdown timer, which lets them know, you know, time is ticking and it is a real deadline. It's not, I actually even call that out in one of the emails because I think a lot of people have a built-in like BS detector about that. Okay, sure. Like we've all been on websites where there's like countdown timer where you're like, then you come back the next day and it's at the exact same position. So I basically go out of my way to say, this is an actual deadline. Like once you started hit play on the webinar, your unique countdown timer started for you.
Yeah.
So
that's,
there's no coming back asking me for an extension, like not going to do it.
I'm glad you brought that up because integrity to your own deadline is so important because if you break it and you could make more money in the short term by letting someone get in, chances are eventually someone's going to spread the word and then they're going to tell people, more people are going to ask you and they won't take your word seriously. So when you do a launch, for instance, and you say no extensions, no deadlines, people are like, yeah, sure. I'll just ask Wes after. Like,
yeah.
You have, like he said, you have to put the hammer down and be like, nope, no more. Like you can't access it after. So,
I mean, you just have to do what you say you're going to do. And I've even heard people go so far as having an email which basically says, you may be wondering if this deadline's real and if it's actually enforced. Well, here is a little story about someone who tried to sneak in past the deadline, you know, last month. And here's the email he sent to me and here's my response. And you just have like an actual screenshot of you saying, no, we can't do it. Sorry.
Oh, that's pretty cutthroat. But like, man, that gets to the point.
I mean, it's more attention getting than just kind of saying, no, guys, not going to happen, you know?
Yeah. And think about it long-term. Like you say, okay, short-term, yeah, you can make more money, but long-term, if you're in this for the long game and most of you are listening, how many more launches have you got coming up? And every time you say, I've got no extensions, people are going to listen to you because they know, and like you've just given that example, people will take it more seriously and you'll get a better response out of it.
Yeah. And this even works for not even launches. Like if you're just a business, a local business or otherwise who just wants to give away a free deal, not a free deal, but just a deal every now and then, you know, the way that those work is when you have a deadline on them. Otherwise, if you just have an all purpose, all the time deal, suddenly that's not really a deal anymore. And people will just think, oh, well, I can get that next week, or I can get that the week after. But if you enforce it, you can use that deal multiple times a year and people will understand, like, okay, this is this week's deal. And then it's gone until the next time. And we don't know when that is.
Totally agree. And hey, you know, something's really interesting. I haven't ordered off Uber Eats for a long time, and I did last Friday, and they have this new feature where there's this countdown timer, and they'll be like, get $15 off when you, because obviously there are businesses that are a bit, you know, they're not pushing out as much, and they're in this feed with a timer, and you have an option to get $15 off if you pick one of these restaurants. So if Uber's using it, you should use it.
It can work for, it can work for all kinds of businesses. So,
all right,
cool.
I'm getting a bit sidetracked here, but we're up to the direct response principle number three. That is a really powerful one. It's called a curiosity packed PS. Most of you will know PS at the very bottom is one of the most read spots on the email. I don't know why. I'm not one of those people who scrolls all the way down and reads a PS, but a lot of people do.
Yeah.
And some people put the link in there. Some people will tease the next day of what's going on. I like to do the latter. I like to tease what's going on. But if you keep saying, tomorrow I'll reveal the secrets to this, and tomorrow you'll discover this, it gets a bit predictable. So when I say curiosity packed, an example, I always want to keep them guessing. So another one is, like, I like to bring up an objection in the PS. So I get a lot of inquiries asking, Nathan, does video marketing actually work? So there's that question we're talking about. And the answer, short answer is yes. So tomorrow I'll reveal exactly why it's the best marketing strategy for, like, for your local business. Okay, that's one. I did a totally different PS than the next one. I went with pure benefits. So I made the email shorter and I put a lot of those benefits in the PS. Mm-hmm. You might be wondering, well, this all sounds great, but I could never go on camera. That scares the hell out of me. Tomorrow, I'm going to reveal a story about an Adelaide real estate agent who was petrified of being on camera and how she transformed into a camera confident Hollywood-like star, and now she's selling like gangbusters. Here's the best bit. She saw a 75% increase in houses sold thanks to our video marketing. See you tomorrow. So yeah, nice. A bit different in each one, but, you know, always try and keep them guessing. So like I said, repetition is not the best thing in time side of an email. You want to keep them guessing all the time.
Yeah, you definitely want to keep it fresh. And I like that you're teasing the next email. It's like a little cliffhanger for a TV show. So awesome.
Yep. With the benefit.
Exactly.
Okay, the last one, it's a bit unsexy. And I know this one's really important to you because...
You can't go out on a non-sexy one, Jules. Come on.
I know. I probably shouldn't
have... I'm just kidding.
I should have kept this to last.
Yeah, no,
sorry. I'll put the reader to sleep. That's right. You yourself said that you were going to switch from drip to ConvertKit. Why were you going to do that? Because it's cheaper, right?
Well, I was going to. I didn't end up doing it, but I was going to do it because it was cheaper, and I feel like there was another reason too. But yeah, let's just say.
Yeah, I'm not pulling this to pull you up as like a cheapskate. I'm bringing this up because the reason why Wes did not switch from drip to ConvertKit was because his emails kept hitting the Gmail promo tab every single time he tested a new email. But every time he sent it out from drip, it hit the inbox. It landed in the inbox. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, so just to clarify that, the other ones didn't hit the primary. They hit the promotions. Promotions versus primary tab. So yeah.
And that's a big deal because the promo tab is the pitch fest basically. And obviously the email service provider makes a huge difference. So stuff like, I'm sorry to diss these people, MailChimp, that's a big culprit.
Yeah.
Like you said, ConvertKit, that's another culprit. I'm not too sure. Those are the two ones that I've heard a lot. Drip is one of the better ones, and ActiveCampaign is one of the better ones too. Those are what I use. But yeah, basically you really want to be testing before you send out an email. That's the last mistake. Because you can go to all this effort, you write this great email, especially if it's an autoresponder, because you don't touch it after that. But if you're not testing before it hits the Gmail promo tab, then pretty much just much lower open rates, much lower eyeballs. And all that hard work goes for nothing. So what I really recommend is that you go get my freebie, because I got a whole bunch of all these trigger words in there to help you get out of the Gmail promo tab. Because here's the thing as well, even stuff like, if you use the word email, it sends it. But if you use the word e-mail, it doesn't send it. And it's not necessarily always words, because words do sometimes send it there. But what I've read, and I've bought a few products on this, and they say that there's a lot of, if you say have like a lot of ratio of words, which like one word and another one, or patterns of different words when you combine one word with another one, it just sort of sends, it's really, it no one quite something. Understands it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone's just sort of has like a good guess of what sends it there. And I won't lie, this is pretty frustrating to test. So what I would do is, if you're going to test it and it hits the Gmail promo tab, before you send it out, all you got to do is just, you got to break it up into quarters. Right. So I'm going to take off the bottom quarter first and then resend to my test email. Does it hit the promo tab? Yes. Okay. I'm going to take off the top quarter now, the second quarter. Does it hit the promo tab? Yeah, it does. And you keep going quarters, you keep breaking it down. Eventually you will find it, and then you work backwards from there. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah, so you're kind of weeding out what chunk of your email might be doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, cool. And sorry that I jumped in earlier. With your accent, when you were saying promo tab, it sounds to me like you're saying primary tab. So that was, just confused. Yeah. So I'm picking it out now, but just in case everyone's wondering, like, why did you interrupt him, Wes? It was.
Yeah. But yeah, 100% break it down into quarters just to see what it looks like. And if it's still hitting it, check the subject line, because that also makes a difference.
Okay.
And those are the five big mistakes. So
I'm
sure you've got a few questions.
Well, I mean, this is a lot of information for sure. And I actually think the fifth one was a good one. Like, I talk about that a lot, because I wish I could recommend.
Great, huh?
No, they're all great. But you said you were down on the fifth one. So I was like sticking up for it. But no, it's something I talk about a lot, because I really wish that I could recommend a MailChimp or something to my students and YouTube viewers and podcast listeners who don't have a whole lot of money to spend on an email marketing program.
Yeah.
But the truth is, as long as you're doing this, as long as you're spending the time, you're taking the time to write all these emails, it's worth spending a little bit more to get them to actually be delivered, I would think.
And I would think that too.
Yeah. And I went, you know my story. Like, I went through the whole exercise of like redoing all my emails, copying, pasting them into ConvertKit. I was going to do it. I was going to pull the trigger. And then I'm like, wait a second, Wes, you might want to test this first. And that's when I realized, I just killed a whole Saturday morning on this thing that's not going to pan out. So.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate, because you go to the Gmail promo tab and you see a lot of people who you sign up for, they're in your promo tab, and you're like, oh, I feel sorry for them, because I'm not going to reach your emails, or they're not reaching their audience. So be proactive. It takes time to fix. It is a little frustrating, but what's more better, getting more customers or putting more time to fix it?
Yeah. And there's some big ones in there too, like Amy Porterfield, who I felt like she's in the promos tab. Like
Frank Kern's in the promo tab too.
Okay. Do you think it has to do with something about like, once you hit a certain threshold where your list is so big that enough people are probably going to mark you as spam. It's just a numbers game, and
that's,
you're going to wind up in there.
Yep. So the products that if you're interested in the product that I got, it's really, really good. It's a guy called Ian Stanley. It's $100 product. It was really, really helpful. But he said that a lot of it's got to do with sender scores. It's got to do with, you know, if you've been in the promo tab for years and then you decide, okay, I want to get out. Most of the time it's pretty difficult to get out. I hope that answers your question.
Well, hold on, just one more thing. So how much does it have to do with your email address it's sending from versus your provider?
Okay. Good question. Know? Okay. I'm going to give a little tip here. It's from that product. So I may as well just share it on the podcast.
Oh, okay.
Because that's what podcasts are for, sharing a lot of value.
Exactly.
So even the address affects the open or the inbox landing. So the promo tab, primary tab. Okay.
The physical address you list or your email address?
Email address.
Okay.
So I changed it from info@julesdan.com to support@julesdan.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it still sometimes hits promo, but much way better. Way better. It lands into primary much more often.
Ah, interesting. Because I just switched mine to come from info@WesMcDowell. So you're saying I should probably get rid of that, put it back to
support?
My name? No, it was like at my personal one, and then it was going out to, I changed it to info@WesMcDowell.com. And
yeah. So info, your name, those just have a higher likelihood of hitting the promo. But for whatever reason, Google wants the support to come through because support messages are important. Look, it is a bit of a hack. And obviously, you know, use it. If the more people know about this, then the hack's going to go away. Yeah. So keep this to yourself.
Worth the price of admission right there.
Yeah.
For this episode. That's awesome, Jules. Well, thanks so much. This has been great. And where can people find more about you and that freebie you were talking about?
Yeah. Okay. So if you're struggling, what the hell do I write about? If you're struggling to know what's the strategy, if you're struggling to know what are those trigger words we've been speaking about, I would go to julesdan.com/email mistakes. I'm going to give that to Wes. And I've also got, if you don't like reading it, it's a 25-page report. If you don't like reading it, I've got an audio version too. So what you can listen to it while doing the dishes or whatnot. And yeah, that's all part of it. And I'll leave it for Wes. But otherwise, super grateful for being on the show twice.
Yeah.
Super excited. I'm the second person, the first person to do that. So
yeah,
thank you, mate.
We'll have you. We can't have you in the three times in the first 100 episodes, but maybe after that, we'll give you a third time at bat.
I'll have to think of a sexier freebie title then as well.
Okay. That's your challenge. I pose it to you. So, all right. Well, Jules, thanks so much. This has been amazing. And that freebie will be in the show notes as well for anyone listening. But we will talk to you again very soon.
Thanks a lot.
I love talking to Jules. He's always got such great little nuggets that I take away from all of our conversations. And there's a reason why I keep using him for my emails. He just really knows how to connect in that right way. And he's definitely used all these autoresponders before, so he really knows what he's talking about. So hopefully, if you're making any of the mistakes we talked about, you recognize that, and now you know how to fix it. So that's it for today's show, and I'll see you guys all again next week, same time. But until then, I want you to make it real and take action on what we talked about here today. Bye for now.